The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 8, verses 16 to 21. Please turn to page 103 of the New Testament in the Korean Bible. It's Luke chapter 8, verses 16 through 21. Allow me to read the words of God. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have will be taken from them. Now, Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside, wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Amen." When I was in college, I majored in literature. So during my time in school, I learned and read some of the works of William Shakespeare, a British playwright. At the time, I simply found his works interesting and nothing more. However, after graduating from college and attending theological graduate school, I took an elective course called Christianity and Literature. The professor who taught at the course was originally a professor of English literature who specialized in Shakespeare, but later studied theology and became a pastor. As a result, I ended up reading some of Shakespeare's works again while attending the theological school. However, it felt completely different from when I had read them in college, even though it was the same works. The way Shakespeare portrayed the different types of human was so much more vivid and accurate, and it felt like I was reading a completely different work from when I was in college. This is probably because my understanding of the world and humanity has changed so much. If I were to read them now, I'm sure I would feel differently yet again. The Bible, God's word, is the same. I remember that the Bible I read as a college student, the Bible that I read while attending theological school, and the Bible that I read in Geneva, Switzerland as a foreigner and outsider were all quite different. As my position in life changed, different parts of God's word became more deeply meaningful to me. Also, not just as a pastor, but as a Christian and a disciple of the Lord, I regularly and consistently read the Bible. However, as I read the Bible, I see that different parts of it stand out to me specially in my mind each year. Sometimes, well-known verses are engraved in my mind. Other times, I come across verses that make me smile without even realizing it. Sometimes, verses that I had previously passed over without much thought or that haven't resonated with me before suddenly hit me like a dagger in the heart, and they stay with me for a long time. Through those words, my life is often corrected and transformed. When we encounter God's word, these experiences happen because both the soil of our lives and the soil of our souls are different each time. Over the past 5 weeks, we have looked at the parable of the sower. As I mentioned last week, we do not belong to only one of the four types of soil, but our lives and our souls revolve around these four types repeatedly. It's like how nature has spring, summer, fall, and winter. It means that our lives and souls have at least four different seasons. One of the common confessions among those who come to know the Lord personally and begin their faith journey in adulthood or later is that although they did not feel it at the time, God came to them countless times and knocked on the door of their lives. They may have initially felt uncomfortable even hearing the word Christ in Christianity and thought that the C in church stood for cutting people's gathering. However, looking back, they realized that the worship services they were forced to attend during mission school years were instances of God regularly seeking them out. They realized that the encouragement of friends, colleagues, and acquaintances to come to church, as well as the pleas of family and their loved ones, were all instances of God showing them grace and appealing to them. They came to understand that it was God who was seeking them out and appealing to them. As such, the soil of our lives and souls also changes, and the seasons of our lives change as well. Sometimes we can feel that God is touching the soil of our souls. We must be able to respond righteously at that time. When we read the word, a joy that we cannot understand arises and tears flow. This is God touching the soil of our souls. When we listen to a sermon during worship, it feels like the word is directed towards us, not because the pastor is preaching well, but because God is cultivating the soil of our souls. We must be able to obey him at that time. Among the things that Jesus told us, the parable of the sower is the only parable recorded in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. This means that this parable is particularly important. Moreover, when Jesus told this parable, he cried out, "He who hears, he who has ears, let him hear," with all his might. This is because there is nothing as important as hearing God's word correctly when living a life of faith. However, hearing God's word is not just about listening with our ears. We also hear it with our eyes, our hearts, and our lives. The importance of listening to the word correctly is not limited to this parable, and Jesus also speaks about it through another parable and event in today's passage. Let us look at verse 16 of today's passage. "No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light." After the parable of the sower, Jesus spoke of the parable of the lamp on a stand. Nowadays, there are probably not many areas in the world where electricity does not come in, and even in places where electricity does not come in, there are almost no places that are without matches or lighters. However, it was not the case at that time. The light of a lamp was scarce. But lighting a lamp itself was not easy either. Therefore, when going out, they left the flame of the lamp low enough not to extinguish. And when they returned, they made the light brighter and lived by placing the lamp on the lampstand. This parable is by no means meant to explain how Jesus merely lights a fire or tends to it. Similar content to this parable can also be found in the Gospel of Matthew. Let us look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and gives it light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." The most important function of a light is to illuminate the darkness. Therefore, the meaning behind the statement, "You are the light of the world," contains the message that the word "world" is a dark place. We don't know how much darkness there is in the world. We see and hear every day through newspapers and broadcasts how ugly and evil things can become when darkness rolls over a person. Another important function of light is guiding. Can you imagine driving a car with a broken headlight on a dark night when there is almost no moonlight or starlight shining, and driving on a mountain road or a country road above a cliff? If there are no headlights on a highway without street lights, you cannot see even a few meters ahead. But if you turn on the headlights, you can see several tens of meters ahead. If you adjust the headlights to high beams, you can see more than 100 meters ahead. Jesus defines the world as not only being in darkness, but also as a place where one does not even know which direction to go. He says that only Christians can dispel that darkness and lead in the right direction. This is how much the Lord trusts us Christians, and how much our role is crucial. After Jesus said that his disciples and us Christians are like a lamp, he continued with these words in verse 17. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. There is a saying that sneezing and love cannot be hidden. No one sneezes with a straight face. Even the expression of someone who is about to sneeze is amusing. Love is the same. When you have someone you love, you might find yourself wearing a perfume you never used to wear before, or washing your hair twice a day instead of once. You might spend more time trying to apply makeup perfectly, only to feel like it's not good enough. You might stand in front of your closet for a long time, feeling like you have nothing to wear, even though it's full of clothes. That is why, when you fall in love, unhideable changes happen to you. The English word for the hours of regulating people to stay indoors, or hour to return home, that prohibits people from going out, is called curfew. This word comes from the French word couvre-feu, which means cover the fire. From 1977 to 1990, there was a nighttime system in Korea called the Light Discipline. It was a training to prepare for nighttime air raids by the enemy during the wartime. When the training alert siren sounded at 10 p.m., we turned off all the lights in our house and closed the curtains. You were only allowed to turn on the lights in spaces where no light can leak out, and all the family members gathered there. When you looked outside through the window, the world seemed pitch dark. However, if you looked closely, you could see faint lights seeping out of each house. It is impossible to keep the light hidden continuously. Even if it is a small light, the area around it becomes bright when there is light. A person who holds God's word will inevitably reveal it over time. Jesus continuously emphasized the importance of listening to and keeping his word as follows. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them. Even if you hear the same word in the same place, it does not necessarily produce the same result. Nor does hearing the same word at the same time produce the same amount of light. Therefore, Jesus tells us to listen carefully to his words. However, the second half of this verse seems familiar, as if we have seen it somewhere before, and quite difficult to understand. There is a parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25. A master called his three servants and distributed talents to each according to their abilities before leaving for another country. He gave five talents of gold to one, 2 talents to another, and 1 talent to the last servant. 1 talent of gold, which is about 34 kilograms, would be worth approximately 2.7 billion won at today's rate. After a long time had passed, the master returned and calculated what each servant had done with their talents. The servant who had received 5 talents had gained 5 more, and the one who had received 2 talents had gained 2 more. The master praised these 2 servants, saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." They were able to share in the master's joy. However, the slave who had received 1 talent brought back the same 1 talent and said, "Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. 'Master,' he said, 'I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you.' After hearing this, the angry master said to him, 'His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servants. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. In our opinion, it would have been better if the master had taken 1 talent from the slave who had 10 talents and given it to the slave who had 1 talent, so that each slave would have had 9, 4, and 2 talents respectively, which would have looked more equitable. However, the master took the talents from the slave who had 1 talent and gave it to the one who had 10, and ultimately said as follows, in Matthew chapter 25, verse 29. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is the same content as today's passage. In terms of studying, students who study well build upon what they already know and add more to it, which leads them to the path of higher and deeper learning. On the other hand, students who don't know much about the subject will end up putting less emphasis on accumulating knowledge and will end up even forgetting what they previously knew to some extent. The difference between the person who receives praise from their master and the one who receives scolding is whether they understood their master's words correctly or not. This also applies to our faith. The level of our faith varies depending on how we receive God's words. For those who consider God's words as life, the Bible becomes the words of eternal life. And for those who consider God's words as light, the Bible becomes a light that shines their path even when they walk in the darkness of life, and the light that shows the direction of their life. On the other hand, for those who only opens up any part in the Bible only when it's urgent, the Bible will be more like a lucky charm to them. For those who consider God's words as a form of education, the Bible will be just like a textbook. And for those who consider God's words as an accessory, they will only seek them when they need them and ignore them otherwise. And their faith will be like a pair of earrings that we keep changing every day. The more seriously we listen to God's word, the more our faith becomes true and sincere. Also, when we embrace and devour God's word, it in turn devours us, leading us to bear the fruit of life and fruit of the truth. Therefore, when we keep God's word, it also keeps us. Today's passage introduces another incident to emphasize how important God's word is to our faith. Let's look at verse 19 and 20. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside, wanting to see you." This passage is not immediately connected to the previous event. According to the order of Matthew and Mark's Gospels, before Jesus spoke about the parable of the sower, he entered a house and preached there. However, due to the pressing crowd, there was no time to eat. At that moment, some people came to Jesus and said, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." It seems that the reason why Luke has recorded the events of Jesus' family visiting and the parable of the sower in a different order was to emphasize the importance of listening to and devouring God's word. In fact, Jesus' family, including relatives, as recorded in Matthew and Mark, came not to listen and obey because they believed his teachings were true. They came because they thought Jesus was out of his mind and wanted to take him away when he was having a debate about casting out demons with others. Jesus' mother and brothers came to check whether he was really out of his mind and not eating properly, and to persuade him and take him home. In other words, it was purely out of human-like concern. However, Jesus reveals what true family is like as follows in verse 21. He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." This passage may sound a little bitter to family members, and some may even wonder if Jesus is ignoring his family. Of course, that is not the case. Later, on the cross, he entrusted his mother Mary to his disciple John and James, his brother. And James, his brother, became a leader of the early church. Looking at these examples, it is clear that Jesus did not turn away from his family. Jesus defined the family of God's kingdom as those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Therefore, anyone who hears and obeys God's word can become a member of Jesus' family regardless of age, gender, or social status. Each of us must also be a person who listens to the word of the Lord correctly and obeys it to become a member of the Lord's family. In other words, the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church community that hears and obeys the word of the Lord together is the family of the Lord. Our 100th Anniversary Memorial Church has been live streaming Sunday services, Wednesday Bible studies, and early morning prayer meetings since before COVID-19. Since the pandemic, many more members have been able to participate in these events through online videos. One of the major advantages of online worship is that we can join in from anywhere, regardless of location. Therefore, even if our church is not located in Mapo-gu, Seoul, but in a distant district, suburb, or province of Seoul, we can participate in the worship service at the same time through real-time streaming. Even if someone is overseas, they can still participate in real-time worship. This is definitely a huge benefit of online. However, one major disadvantage of online worship is that it can be difficult to concentrate, especially when worshiping alone. When participating in online worship, let us try to keep alert mind. Particularly during Sunday services, let's dress appropriately as if attending the physical church, so that we can focus more and present ourselves wholly to God. If online worship does not allow us to offer ourselves fully to God, let us go to the church to worship in person. This will help our faith grow and mature. The same applies to the small group Bible study meetings. While the introduction of faith life is shared during the Sunday worships, the small group Bible studies will deal with the individual aspects of faith life. If you share with your fellow small group members who are in a similar life circumstance about how you live your life as a Christian and how you apply the word in your life, you will experience another mysterious touch of the Lord, different from the grace you received during Sunday worships. The important thing is that through Sunday worship and local Bible study, whether we hear God's word or read it ourselves in any way, we must listen to God's word correctly and act upon it. If we do not, we cannot fulfill our role as the light of the world or become a healthy member of the Lord's family in this world. Today is Passion Sunday, when we remember and commemorate the suffering of Jesus Christ, who was crucified on the cross for our sake, in order to give us eternal life. We were originally in darkness, therefore we were beings who died because of sin and transgression. However, since Jesus shed his blood of redemption on the cross, we were able to open our eyes to eternity and receive the light of the Lord, who was the eternal light, thus becoming the light as well. Furthermore, we were originally those who were outside of Christ and those who were not part of God's family. However, Jesus has forever forgiven our sins and become a bridge between us and God. So we have become those existing in Christ and have become part of God's family. Jesus said to his disciples who listened to the word of God, "You are the light of the world." Greek verbs have different forms, just like in English and French. In English, the verb be changes to am, is, or are, depending on the subject's person and number. In regular verbs, an s is added to the third person singular form. French has much more varied verb forms than in English. In Greek, verb forms differ depending on the person and number of the subject, when the subject is in the first, second, or third person singular or plural. Therefore, you can tell the person and number of the subject by looking at the verb form. So it was common to omit the subject when it was a pronoun. However, even if a subject word was a pronoun, if it needed to be emphasized, it was expressed. For example, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. I am the good shepherd." And in all cases, the subject was used. This emphasizes that there can be no way, truth, or life apart from me, no existence that bears fruit without me, and only I can be the good shepherd. When Jesus said, "You are the light of the world," the subject was used, and the most emphasized word in this statement is "you." He is saying, "You, the ones who hear these words, are the only beings that are the light in this world." Therefore, the meaning is that only you can illuminate the darkness of this world, and only you can show the right path to those who do not know the way. So, what kind of people were these disciples who listened to Jesus' words? Were they high-ranking officials and lawmakers like ministers and congressmen in Korea? Or were they representatives or executives of the companies that make the most profits in Korea? Were they people with knowledge that even professors and others do not possess? They were mostly fishermen from Galilee. Some were zealots who were caught up in their own beliefs. And there was even a former tax collector who was pointed at by people at the time. Jesus did not hesitate to say to these people who looked insignificant and poor, "You are the light of the world." It was not because they themselves were great, but because the words of the Lord were words of life and truth. And if they listened to them correctly and embraced them, those words would make God's work happen within them. they embraced the Lord's words and lived faithful lives as his apostles. At that time, they may have appeared insignificant and poor from a worldly perspective, but the Lord's words shaped them, and the words they preached have been passed down to us today. To us who are listening to his word at this moment, Jesus Christ, who has overcome the world, says without hesitation, "You are the light of the world." The light of this world is like a lighthouse. It is an essential presence that cannot be missing for ships that must traverse high waves in pitch black darkness. People living in this world are like those ships, and we are the presence that shines the way for them. However, there is one thing we must keep in mind. The lighthouse cannot shine its light on its own. It must have a proper lighthouse keeper to become a true lighthouse. Jesus Christ, who was the eternal light and the eternal lighthouse keeper, shed his blood of atonement on the cross to make us into a lighthouse that shines the world. So when we cling to him and listen to his word, we can become a lighthouse of life and truth that shines over the world, and we can then overcome the world. Therefore, there is nothing more important in our life of faith than listening to the word of God righteously. Let us look at verse 18. "Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have will be taken from them." Let us pray. Father God, over the past 6 weeks, we have confirmed how important God's word is in our lives, and how different the results can be depending on how we listen to it. It is impossible to bear the fruit of life and truth in our lives with God's word, and we cannot live as life on this earth without hearing his word righteously. We also learn that we cannot become God's family if we do not listen to his word righteously and live it out. Yet, we have lived for many years without God's word, thinking that we could live well by simply mixing what we learn from worldly knowledge and attending church services. On the Sunday of Passion Week, we remember and commemorate the suffering of our Lord, who shed his blood on the cross to make us light and to make us his family. The lighthouse can only be a lighthouse when there is a lighthouse keeper. May we entrust our lighthouse, which is our life, to our eternal lighthouse keeper, our Lord, and may we become a lighthouse of life and truth that guides people to him by listening to his word and obeying it. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.